Okay, we're going to begin. We're 10 minutes till, so that doesn't seem to get anything either. How many of you ever heard of Ed Kimball? Anyone know Ed Kimball? Well, you should know Ed Kimball. Let's all sit down, folks. Ed Kimball was a Sunday school teacher in 1858, and he led a shoe clerk to the Lord whose name was Dwight L. Moody. Now that's in itself is significant as a lesson that we should take whatever God gives us as ministry seriously, because we don't know what the ones that we are going to contact and teach and disciple and minister, what they might accomplish. But it's interesting that in a church in England, D.L. Moody went to England, and a man by the name of F.B. Meyer, who's written a number of commentaries, was a preacher there. And he was brought to Christ by a student by the name of Wilbur Chapman. Chapman was working with the YMCA, worked with a former baseball player called Billy Sunday to do evangelistic work. Billy Sunday held a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. A group of local men were so enthusiastic that afterward they planned another evangelistic meeting, and they brought in a man by the name of Mordecai Ham to preach. During Ham's revival, a young man named Billy Graham heard the gospel. It's interesting. We don't know the influence of our life in any small circumstance that we would consider small. God desires to use people as they are available. We're looking at a series, and we're just going to touch on it today, obviously, because most of this that we'll talk about today, while it is in the scripture as of first importance, we're looking at first thing. What's the first thing that should be on your mind in regard to various circumstances? Whether it's the broad things of life, seek first the kingdom of God, or whether it's simply in your own life, if you want to be first, you must be a servant. All of those firsts relate to a particular topic or subject, and the one this morning is the necessity of putting the gospel first. Now, evangelism is difficult under any circumstances because Satan fights at this point. That's the point where his captives, you want to turn this down just a little bit, Dan, his captives are taken from him and brought into God's kingdom. You're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the most essential step in reaching the world for Christ is preaching the gospel. And it is difficult because there are so many other things that are involved. If you're a mechanic, you can be on the mission field preparing vehicles and equipment so that others can preach the gospel. In those circumstances, it's easy to lose sight of your role in preaching the gospel. Everyone is to share the gospel. And everyone is to be, that's the purpose of the gifts, assisting others in sharing the gospel. So we're going to look very quickly at some of these firsts. Jesus said, in preaching the gospel, put the children first. Jesus said to this woman that made a request of him, let the children first be filled. For it is not fit to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. The primacy of reaching people when they're young. And in survey after survey in Bible schools and seminaries, as they ask the question, how many of you received Christ by the time you were five or six? And a large portion Raise their hand. How about before you were 12 and a whole bunch more? And the older they get, the fewer and fewer are won to Christ. The gospel should place a preeminence on the children, because Jesus called the little child to him and said, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Luke 18, he says, they brought him also infants, that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. Jesus called them unto him and said, allow the little children to come unto me. Also, the scripture is emphatic on the point of it being to the Jew first. That was Paul's methodology. That was in that passage we mentioned earlier, let the children first. He was talking there by illustration of the Jewish people. The woman comes and she has a young daughter who had an unclean spirit, it says, and she came and fell at his feet, but she was a Gentile. And Jesus makes this really bad statement. Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not fit to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Now, that wouldn't stand political scrutiny today, but he has a particular point. He came to his own. His ministry was not done until after the cross that he reaches out into the world. He came as the Jewish Messiah to the Jewish people, and his ministry was all centered on that, except for a few exceptions. And her statement that, yeah, but the dogs get to lick the crumbs under the table, your faith, he says, gets you your request. And he heals the child. The gospel to the Jew. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Even Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles, recognized as he went into the synagogues, they went from Jerusalem. And as they went out, the first place they would go is to the synagogue. Why? Well, they had people educated in Old Testament information, and the Old Testament is filled with messianic verses and God's work among people, including Gentiles, and they could start with what they already knew and preach the gospel. They went into all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus, as he ascended, said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Any missionary endeavor that doesn't get to the gospel is a waste of time for the believer. We need to be careful of that, particularly in an age of parachurch organizations that have specialized ministries, all of them valuable. I've known a number that's gone on with the Doctors Without Borders, ones like that. They do a wonderful work, but one of the things they're careful to do is that as they're doing the intake and evaluation to see if they can help the certain people with certain conditions, they get the gospel. As they are coming out of that and are being treated by nurses and aides, they get the gospel. The goal is not to fix a cleft palate. The goal is to reach families with the gospel. And that always is to be first in our minds. One of those first is the family, and this is the hardest. Jesus is walking along, and two of those which heard John speak followed him, Andrew and Peter. He first finds his brother, Simon. Andrew finds Simon and says, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. When Jesus preached, and the maniac of Gadara, as he's often called, the individual who was filled with demons and they were cast out, and he says, I want to go with you. Obviously, that's a normal thing. You think Jesus would love to have some people who were so totally committed to follow along with him. But he says, no, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Timothy, if any man provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And that provision should be of all kinds, not just making sure they have food and shelter, but that they have instruction in the things of God and an example of what that means. And that's tough. It places a great burden on parents, to be sure. But that's how the priority should be set. First, we'll skip a few, Dan, and go down to the conclusion. The most essential step in reaching the world for Christ is preaching the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not heard and not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. There's a story of a high school in Texas that had a fire, lost dozens of lives in that school. It was old, it was made out of wood, it had no sprinkler system or anything like that, and it swept through and killed many. And they determined to build the best, and they put up a modern structure filled with the sprinkler system and safety features like that. And years later, they needed to add on to the school, and so they built this building beside it and went over to connect these things together and discovered the sprinkler system had never been hooked up. Fortunately, they didn't have an accident. But preaching things that are valuable, self-image and all the theologies and all the doctrines and all the things we can get into. And many of those are important, and I wouldn't diminish them. I believe the scripture is just saying the first emphasis is the gospel. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scripture, and he was seen. That is the heart of the gospel. He died, he rose, and when you believe on Jesus Christ, it isn't all those things, did he really walk on water or not, that you argue about. That's not relevant to the issue of eternal life. He died for you, he rose again. And that is the gospel. And if we don't get to that in our ministries, in our efforts, in our missions, and our activities, then we are missing the boat. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Thank you, Father, for the gospel, your word, that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Gentiles, to us. And Father, we thank you that there have been those, as we saw as we began, who strung together insignificant from the world standpoint people, but by faithfully sharing that gospel, it came to us. Not with might and power and famous people and wild services, but Father, with your Spirit to work in our heart, open it, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine to us, that we might believe and be saved. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.